Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 63 of the Funkhauser Situation, your pop culture podcast in the KSR-verse. I am Chris Tomlin. As with me, as always, is my friend, confidant, colleague, co-host, Lee Cruz. Lee, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good to see you.
Well, it's good to see you.
Thanks.
This is two in a row, so...
Two weeks in a row. I know. We're on a hot streak.
Yeah, because we went for a long time without anything, and folks were upset.
People were very sad. Yeah. You know, there was a lot of morose feelings in the...
and morass.
And what?
Morass. There's morose. There's morass.
What's morass?
Well, morass is sister to morose.
How do you spell that?
M-A-R-A-S-S.
What's it mean?
It's morass.
What does it mean?
It's Morosa's sister.
Okay.
I don't know if you've met him. They're from Estill County.
I got you. Lee, you doing okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. It's hot.
It's so hot.
I love it, though. Honestly, okay.
You like the heat?
Let me ask you this question. If you had to choose 0 Fahrenheit or 98 Fahrenheit, which would you choose?
No brainer. 0.
You're an idiot.
Nope. I'm not. I have always said that I'm one of these people who will not complain about how cold it is
I firmly am in
the complaining about heat camp. So
not me.
No,
I like
not
it
me.
Hot.
I can't stand it. But I'm very hot natured.
That's a stupid statement you made. So if let's say now you've selected your climate, I've selected my climate.
Right.
And now they say, okay, go stand outside for 5 hours.
Right.
One of us is going to die. The other one's just going to be uncomfortable.
Well, I would rather be in the cold because I will die in the heat for 5 hours.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will.
No, you won't. You're sweat.
But see, what I'm saying is I don't want to be the type of person who complains about the heat and complains about the cold because then you're just, you know, come
well,
on.
Well, I don't complain.
I'm the same way,
except you've chosen wrong. You've chosen the wrong side. I complain about the cold because when my old job where I would get up in the morning – you know, a lot of times during winter, they make me stand on an overpass at 4 a.m.
Right, right. And now you just do that for fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also like the rain, which also might surprise you.
Do you?
I do. I like overcast. I like rain. I think it's because, have you ever heard of this thing where they say you have like this, you're predisposed to certain weather based on your ethnic background? You ever heard that?
No.
Like for example, like, all of my ancestors are from Scotland.
Yeah.
So I don't mind the rain at all. It bothers me not at all. In fact, I find it somewhat comfortable. So I don't know. Maybe there's something to it. Where's your family from?
Does that also reflect your culinary taste?
Is I boil all my meat.
Uh-huh.
And I wear a kilt everywhere I go.
Right. And no underwear.
Right. And no underwear.
Right.
Where's your family from?
I think the same place yours is.
shot a hole in that theory.
I know. Well, no, there is a small portion, Iberian Peninsula.
Well, there you go. That's sunny, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And tropical, and I love spicy food.
And you tan. Oh, see, I can't do spicy food either
at all. I love spicy food.
At all. Like, I have a huge aversion to spicy food.
I put Tabasco on ice cream if I could get away with it.
Yeah, see, there might be something to that then, because it seems like people who are from climates that are hotter and where the cuisine traditionally is spicier have no problem eating spicy things.
Right.
I can't do it.
Mm. But the big portion of me is from England.
Right.
Probably.
Probably. I did the ancestry thing.
I did the 23andMe, and I was so disappointed.
I was too. I thought it would tell me some towns or some regions, and all I got was, you know, you're like 70% Scotland.
No, why? So, the reason I was disappointed because my family's been lying to me.
Oh.
Because, I mean, I have been told by grandparents and great aunts and uncles that I'm Native American. That, hey, your
really?
Your great-grandmother was half Cherokee. Then your other great-great-grandmother was full Cherokee. They send me pictures of these people.
They're just lying to you?
I guess they just lied about it. Because then, unless 23andMe screwed something up. Because then I look at it and it's like, that was the least percentage.
Yeah.
I was more Iberian Peninsula. I was a lot more British, like 95% English.
Interesting. Huh. Yeah, our friend Noah had a great joke the other day. He said, how many people do you think buy these ancestry things, and their parents are like, yeah, don't do that. Because, like, they've been lying to them, or maybe they didn't know that those people weren't their parents or something like that. And, like, they've, you know, held this kind of facade for years, and now it's going to really all come out, you know.
Right,
hey,
right.
Wait a minute, you know.
Right.
But anyway, people aren't here to hear us talk about our ancestry.
Yeah,
no, this is not the Ancestry podcast. This is the Funkhauser podcast.
What do you think? What planet's that thing from there?
I see a guy over there I know.
We're looking at Ryan Lemon right now.
Ryan Lemon, we are at KS Bar today. And it is a packed house.
Yes.
And everybody is hanging on our every word. And by that, I mean no one even seems to realize they were sitting here.
Right.
I guess we got to have a jail around us or something like that. But
now, here's what I want to talk about today.
Yeah.
Because I watched last night Bohemian Rhapsody.
Mm-hmm.
Freddie Mercury biopic, as you know, is really more about him than it was Queen, even though obviously they play the major role in this thing.
Right.
And the scene I wanted to see, because I had read a few things about the overdubbing that they did for the song itself, Bohemian Rhapsody.
The actual making of the operatic portion
of that. And it was, see, I find that fascinating, the creative process, like how people do certain things. And then I thought, well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about films that have depicted that, and then also biopics themselves.
Yeah. Did you like Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, I thought it was okay. I mean, it was not stellar, but it was...
I love Queen music. Not much of an interest in seeing this movie.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet?
No, I haven't seen it. But I always thought it was funny when it first came out. I saw all these posts on Facebook that said, went to see Bohemian Rhapsody. Movie was just okay, but you should go see it because of the music.
I remember you telling me that.
You can listen to the music anywhere. You don't need to watch the movie.
But with the visuals, it's you know, it's like, well, I don't want to go to the 4D film. I just want the 2D film.
Yeah.
You know, why not have all your senses aroused?
Don't you think Sacha Baron Cohen would have made a better Freddie Mercury?
He would have killed it. Matter of fact, said that last night.
Mm-hmm. He would have disappeared into that character so perfectly.
As soon as the movie was over, with Rami Malek, who did a great job.
Right.
Then they went to the real footage of Freddie. Mm-hmm. And the first thing popped in my mind is, holy cow, he looks like Sacha Baron
Cohen.
And
he was going to do it. You knew that, right?
And he's right. And there was an argument with the director. Brian May or Brian Singer, the director.
I thought it was Brian May that got to argue with him.
Could
have been. We don't want to go this route.
What route did Sacha want to go?
Well, I think they wanted to do more of the less of the infighting and things like that and more of the victorious stuff.
Yeah, it is a very milquetoast portrayal, especially the Brian May, who seems to be the Doc Holliday of the film, where he always backed Freddie. You know, him and Freddie never disagreed that often. And
great.
When they did, it was always Freddie's fault.
Please tell me that the wig game was on point for Brian May.
Now, whoever the actor was, he looked exactly like Brian May.
That was some
and
hair.
They made sure to let you know he's an astrophysicist and all this.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they went out of the way to make Brian May look like, you know,
that
this benevolent
Brian
character.
May took
that,
puppies to the school and handed them out.
But they did vilify that one guy, though. I mean, they went.
Which guy?
The guy who was sort of Freddie's, you know, buddy, for lack of a better term, I guess, because they never officially declared anything, and then they had this falling out.
Right.
And this guy was a part of whatever the record label was at one time, and then he betrayed Freddie several occasions, wouldn't let Freddie in on the information, including that there was a Live Aid concert going to happen. So he was the impetus as to why Queen broke up the first time. They blamed everything on this guy.
Oh, really?
You know, the famine in Ethiopia.
They had to have a scapegoat, so let's just make this guy in.
This guy caused the famine in Ethiopia. That's what they had. Yeah. I mean, this guy, it was funny how Brian May escapes everything, and this guy is the most evil, despicable. It was almost like Gru from Despicable Me.
It was Mike Myers in that movie?
Yes.
Hey, buddy.
Which was interesting. Oh, no. Oh, God.
Have you all – has anything been going on? I was just wondering. I was walking in here.
As a matter of fact, if you haven't heard, I've declared I'm running for the Senate.
You should. You should. I think that would be great. You certainly have the qualifications for it.
Yeah.
You know,
well, as much as anybody else I've heard.
Heck yeah, that's what I would say. I do have to tell you, you know, I was giving you a hard time about how do you lose your job?
Yeah, how
and
do
then
you?
And it just happens to you. Like, what are you going to do, you know?
That's like a virus over there.
It's only a matter of time. Bill Mack better make sure he's got his weather down pat.
Yeah, I'm telling you, they need to get maybe exterminators because the Black Plague is all around. Rats or whatever will just come
Noah
up.
Noah just wrote me and goes, I have to pack up your things. What would you like to keep? And I said, just throw it all away.
Yeah.
Oh, I do have suits. Actually, I'm going to tell him not to throw those away.
Actually, you know what? I've seen those suits.
Oh, they're all.
He should throw them away.
All right, shut up. Back to you all.
All right, thanks.
That voice you heard, of course, El Capitan, Matthew Jones, Matthew Harper Jones, joining us here. But you were saying, so Mike Myers is in that movie, right?
Yeah. Which, I did like that casting. Okay, and Mike, he did a good job. Yeah.
He has a great British accent.
Oh, yeah, and he plays an evil record rep.
Yeah,
you know,
is he comic relief?
Kind of, and there's a few allusions to nobody's going to like this song, this Bohemian Rhapsody. He goes, I want songs that young guys can sit in the car and bang their head to, which is, and so he was trying to get him to lead another from the album. He wanted him to do something different than Bohemian Rhapsody because it was 6 minutes, and he says, it's not going to get airplay. We don't want to release this song.
Well, the end of that song famously is a headbanging song. Because
that's the point, because
right?
In Wayne's World.
Right,
that's why the irony of it. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, so it's a little wink,
yeah,
wink.
It's a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge as to why he's doing it, yeah.
Okay, all right.
I liked it.
Yeah, did you see the Elton John movie?
No. And see, why would I want to go watch the kid from The Kingsman sing?
Yeah.
I would rather you lip sync it because you're not going to pull that performance off because we know who that is.
Right. Yeah. I heard that focused on Elton's drug use a lot, which surprised me because he's still alive. Like, he would be the person you'd want to be kind of tread lightly.
I'll probably watch it at some point, but I haven't.
Yeah.
I haven't yet.
What other biopics do you like?
Well, we were talking about this. You know what I found fascinating? I wouldn't say it's a great movie, but it was very interesting, was Michael Keaton in The Founder. He played Ray Kroc.
Mm-hmm.
Who started McDonald's. And it was just interesting how that whole process began, and then he ripped the guys off who kind of.
So is he a bad guy in that movie?
Yeah, he's a bad guy.
Oh, really? So you're not meant to like him?
Well, and the family apparently is mad about this, but yeah, he was sort of ruthless as to how he developed the system. Because McDonald's, if you think about it, and he met somebody who talked him into this, is more in the real estate business than they're in the restaurant business. So McDonald's owns the property. Like, they don't lease. They don't do – in order – if you want to be an operator owner of McDonald's,
right,
you got to go in business and buy in the property. You don't, like, go to a mall.
Wouldn't you like to know how many acres they own now?
They're the largest holder of real estate in the United States.
Is that right?
Yes.
I believe that.
They hold more real estate than any other company.
That makes sense, though.
And that's why they're so daggone valuable.
Yeah. Yeah, is it? I don't know. I don't follow the stock market. Is McDonald's stock valuable?
I don't know. They had a tough time, you know.
Right
few
now,
years
they're really
ago.
Yeah. Right now, they're really getting all the healthy eating pushback.
Mm-hmm.
You know. You also mentioned.
Well,
I think they
sort of did a misstep, in my opinion, when they try to expand their menu, and they went really broad with all kinds of selections,
pizza and everything.
Yeah,
like that,
all that crazy stuff. Meanwhile, you got eateries like Chipotle and Five Guys doing one thing and one thing only.
And doing it great.
And doing it well. So McDonald's, I think, is trying to ride to the ship. But you got to give your hat. Good Lord. Well, they've been in business for, 60, 70 years, something crazy. I don't know, 50 at least.
Yeah.
And they have survived every decade and thrived. And it's just amazing.
The most valuable thing they have is the Happy Meal. Like branding of the Happy Meal.
Sure.
Because it's like in a box. You can drive through it. Yeah, I remember when I was a kid and we were pressed for time. We were going to soccer practice or whatever.
Right.
My mom would just swing through McDonald's, get everybody a Happy Meal.
Right.
It's right there. You hold it in your lap and eat it on your way, you know.
Got a toy.
Yeah, exactly.
A choking hazard right there.
Yep, exactly. You also mentioned, and we talked a little bit about this, is Tucker, A Man in His Dream.
Love that movie.
The Jeff Bridges movie about the car manufacturer.
Right.
Right. And the car did kind of a forgotten automobile.
Right.
I don't remember why. Was it?
I don't know either what happened with that.
Somebody buy them out
in
Canada?
I do remember. Yeah, maybe. Or they just went defunct. I don't know. The other, along those same lines, was Greg Kinnear
in the movie about the guy who invented the intermittent wipers.
Which, by the way, would you ever think that that movie is interesting?
Yeah, because his story was crazy.
But it is, but on paper. Like, no, if you were going to take a girl to a movie.
That's on your first date.
Yeah, it was like, you're going to love this. It's about the guy that, and she's like, what? He's like, you just turn on the wipers?
Yeah.
Or you just, know, or better, they're like, I'm going to give you a hint what we're going to go see. And just turn the wipers on. Yeah,
that's like best first date movie ever. I'm going to take you to a
it's no stopping my, it's no stopping my mom will shoot, but it's a pretty good one.
Oh, yeah, forgot about you and your
Do you know what
choices.
My all-time favorite biopic is?
What's that?
Ed Wood.
Oh, I do love that movie.
It's so good. You talk about, that's another one of those movies, kind of like we're saying, is A, it's about the creative process.
Yeah.
But B, it's one of those stories that is so crazy.
Yeah.
And you didn't know the story, how he funded Plan 9 from Outer Space with money that
the
Baptist Church of Beverly Hills gave him.
Never mind how the crew had to get baptized.
He told them he was going to make a series of short films about the apostles after he made this one thing.
Yeah.
And then he made this thing, used all the money, and it was just a terrible mess.
Well, Johnny Depp is so interesting because he makes these choices where he plays not a character, he plays a caricature.
Yes.
Think about how he did Ed Wood. This affectation, the way he grinned the whole time like this.
And here, that begs the question. That begs the question. How good of an actor is he?
I don't know. Because I remember when Pirates of the Caribbean came out the first time, right?
Right.
And here's Orlando Bloom and what's the Keira Knightley.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they've done table reads, but they, and then here he comes on the costume and he's doing all that.
Keith Richards,
and he's staggering around. He's doing, they're like, they literally said that we looked at the director. Is he for real? Is this what we're doing?
Well, his Willy Wonka is terrible.
Yeah.
It's frightening.
Well, but is it? I say that because we love Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
So we got something to compare it to.
No, I've watched this recently. I have children. We've watched this recently. And even my children are like, can we watch the other one again?
Yeah.
Like, this is
Gene
weird. We
it's
don't
so much
like
better.
This.
It's so much
it's
better.
It's very odd. It's very off-putting. Yeah. Speaking of people who changed up for a role, I heard a story recently. There's a Nicolas Cage movie called Deadfall. You probably never heard. No one's ever. It's, you know, Nicolas Cage has made a gazillion movies, and you've only heard about a handful of them,
right?
Comparatively. So he made this movie. It's called Deadfall, and it's kind of a Tarantino. It's his version of a Tarantino-y kind of crime movie. And the story I heard, so it was directed by one of the Coppolas, which he's a Coppola, right? And I think it's like one of his cousins directed it. And he went in and he read the script. He loved the script. And then he showed up on the first day wearing albino contact lenses and a cape. And he's like a crime guy. Like, he's like a low-level criminal in this movie. He shows up wearing a cape and like albino.
I'm gonna do it.
And he's like, this is how I'm doing it. And it's like, they were like, no, this is not how you're doing it. We love you.
You
cannot
do
this. You can't, we can't look at this for the whole movie.
Yeah.
That guy, what's your take on Cage?
I don't know what to think of him.
There was a time when he was fantastic.
One of my favorite, I would say, I know it's a top 10 comedy for me, is Raising Arizona.
It's my number one comedy.
Well, I think we did that.
Yeah, we did that early list, on, yeah.
I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah.
And he's a big part of why.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's good in movies like Con Air and stuff like that.
Right.
But he can't. It's so weird to me that he is just off the reservation. I've always wondered if you met Nicolas Cage, like if he walked into this bar now and was sitting over the table, would you go over and say hi, or would you be afraid he would be freak out?
I wouldn't go say hi to anybody, really.
Because you're what? Because you're antisocial?
Yes. I don't want to interrupt. I don't know. I don't want to.
But it's Nicolas Cage. He's sitting by himself.
If he's by himself, maybe. I don't know.
But he's the kind of person, you don't know what your reaction would be.
Right.
Because he's such a weirdo.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, he's
now, Tom Cruise, I'd say hi to.
Well, I would assume you would just go over and sit down at his table and buy him his meal if it's Tom Cruise.
I might, yeah.
But let's get back to what we're talking about. So you were talking about the movies about the creative process.
Mm-hmm.
I have a movie that really, really touches me in a creative way, and I want to see if you share this. And it's not traditionally a movie about creativity, but the overarching theme is
Tangled.
It's not Tangled. That was what I was going to go to next.
Mm.
But is another Tim Burton movie, Big Fish.
I like Big Fish.
And because the storyline, the thing that always makes me tear up at the end, outside of it being a wonderful movie about a father and son's relationship, because if you haven't seen it, he doesn't feel like he ever knew his father.
Right.
And then after his father passes away, he learns he starts meeting the people from his father's life.
Who inspired the stories.
And his father told him all these outlandish stories, and he always hated his dad because his dad never told him any real stories.
Right.
But he finds out that all the stories from his father's life,
are grounded in something.
Yeah. And the overarching theme of what you create lives on after you're gone is a very touching sentiment to me.
And there's somebody, though, I never really quite buy into. Ewan McGregor.
Oh, I love Ewan McGregor.
Have you seen
Trainspotting?
Yeah, I just don't.
Did you not love Trainspotting?
No, and I didn't. And maybe it's because of the Phantom Menace and all the other Star Wars movies where he's Obi-Wan.
But he was a big star before Phantom Menace.
Yeah, I know.
He was a bigger star.
I know. I just don't know. There's something about Ewan McGregor. I just go, eh.
Oh, I like him. But, you know, Scottish.
Is that what it is?
He's our people.
Right.
You know. No, Trainspotting, I think, is so rewatchable. It's so weird, dark, funny. Tragic.
Yeah.
You know, it's a crazy movie. And there's a sequel to it, too. I forget what it's called.
Yeah. That wasn't that long ago.
No, it wasn't. And it's kind of interesting, too, if you like Trainspotting. If you don't like Trainspotting, you're probably not going to like the sequel.
Yeah.
But he's made some decent movies, though.
Yeah, I'm just saying, he's not one of my favorite actors. He'd be the last guy on the list I'd talk to.
Interesting. I would like him.
I just don't know. You said that, and I thought, I wish somebody else was in Big Fish.
Albert Finney.
Oh, no, I love Albert Finney.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
Albert Finney in one of our favorite...
Aaron Brockovich?
No, in one of our favorite Coen Brothers movies, Miller's Crossing.
Oh, yeah.
The scene where he walks down the street in his robe and the Tommy gun.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Right. Yeah.
Albert Finney's one of those guys that I only really know from, like, Miller's Crossing on because he made all those movies before we were alive,
right.
I feel like. Like, our parents saw all these other movies.
Yeah, there was sort of a gap there, it seems like.
Is he a network?
I think he was.
I think he has a network. Is he the...
He's not the guy. I'm mad as hell. I'm not taking any... That's not him.
Okay.
Although it looks like him, but it's not. It's a different guy.
Who was that guy? I
forgot.
Oh, man. I don't know.
I forgot. Oh, now, what about, like, Ray and Walk the Line?
Yeah, Walk the Line's good.
Yeah.
Ray's good.
Those two are good.
Music.
What about the Dewey Cox story?
Oh, I love that. Walk Hard. It's so funny. I love John
There's
C. Reilly.
There's another biopic.
Yeah. What other music biopics are there out there? Lincoln.
He made great music. The one with the – I think it wasn't bad. I really liked it with Black Panther.
James Brown?
Yeah, the James Brown one.
Yeah, that's not bad. I saw that. I liked him better as Jackie
Robinson. What's the actor's name? It's not T'Challa.
Okafor Twelve.
Oh, yeah.
Is that him?
Yeah.
Is that right? I don't know.
Another guy. It's, wait a minute. I'll think of it.
Bozeman.
Yeah, Chadwick.
Chadwick Boseman.
That's who. That's the Black Panther.
Okay. I'm going to look up
Rock. No, the guy you mentioned was the guy that was in Doctor Strange. He played the guy who pulled Stephen Strange off the street, brought him in to meet.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, that's Okafor. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So here we go. We got Walk the Line, where I mentioned. You got Gary Busey, who won an Oscar for Buddy Holly.
Yeah.
It was all downhill from there for that guy.
Yeah.
The Doors.
Yeah, with
Val Kilmer, his
doppelganger. Val Kilmer and Jim Morrison, you can't tell them apart.
Yeah, I read something recently that somebody wrote that The Doors has not aged well because it was so wrong. But I feel like when The Doors came out, everybody really liked it.
Yeah.
I mean, who else is in that? I forget who else is in the movie, but Ray.
Meg Ryan.
Oh, is she in that?
In The Doors, yeah.
Sid and Nancy.
Oh,
that's your boy, Gary Oldman.
I love Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
Now, there's a guy. See, Gary Oldman should have been in Big Fish.
Well, I mean, yeah, but... Albert Finney did fine. Well, you wanted him to be the son?
Yeah, I wanted to play Ewan McGregor. He was young enough to play.
He probably could have then, yeah. Backbeat, which was the Beatles story. But it's about, the one about the guy who got kicked out of the Beatles.
Oh, Pete Best.
Is that Pete Best? Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was Stu Sutcliffe?
I don't know who that was.
Wasn't he a Beatles guy, too?
I don't know.
La Bamba.
Oh, yeah.
Lou Diamond Phillips. I saw Lou Diamond Phillips in a movie my kids were watching the other day, and I immediately thought, Chavez.
Yeah.
from Young Guns.
Right. Those movies Young were Guns great. Were great. I love
They're
Young great. Guns.
What did those hold up?
Regulators.
Yeah. So good.
Of course, if we're talking biopics, my favorite, I guess, it qualifies, Tombstone.
Yeah, that's a biopic. Yeah.
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 I mean, a lot of license taken there, but
yeah.
still.
What's
it was
love
better
got
than
to do
Wyatt
it?
Earp. Oh, yeah, Angela Bassett mm-hmm. played Tina Turner, right?
Great Balls of Fire.
Yep.
With Dennis Quaid.
Yep.
Bohemian Rhapsody, Rocket Man, Selena. Oh, I'll tell you a great biopic is Straight Outta Compton.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
a really good right. movie,
yep.
yeah.
Forget about that.
But in terms of other biopics, let's see what else we got here.
One of the best performances in a biopic, though, goes back to the master of all acting, Daniel Day-Lewis in Lincoln.
Yeah, they said like he pretended to be Lincoln the whole time.
Wouldn't you love to hang out with that guy?
I hope that when he pretended to be Lincoln, no, he was like scared of cars and stuff. Like, yeah. What is this thing? Why are there people in this box?
By the way, my attorney buddy.
Your attorney's name is Buddy?
Yeah, my attorney buddy. No, my attorney, he's
okay,
my buddy.
Gotcha.
He's my buddy first, now he's my attorney.
Okay, gotcha.
Right?
His name is not Buddy. Yeah. That would be a very unlawyer.
I had to play him because I go, you remind me of this so much. So I played him Phil Hartman's old sketch, Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer.
That's so great.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I may not be familiar with your ways. I'm just a unfrozen caveman, not knowing how things work in this crazy modern society. But I do understand my client deserves compensatory damages.
I may be afraid of your flying machines. I'm not understand them. But what I do understand is when my client slips and falls in the ice in front of a library, he is entitled to no less than $600,000 in punitive damages. That's such a great character. I think that is an all-timer.
Oh, yeah.
That was Smigel write that character? I think Smigel
Probably.
Wrote that character.
But you know what? When I watched it, the audience reaction was not that great. Like, the studio audience, they just kind of tittered a little bit. They didn't really laugh that much. You know, I'm laughing, but they're just like,
You know, that era of SNL, though, was very wacky. I mean, like, there was a lot of weird stuff on that era. That you're talking about Hartman.
Carvey was
Hartman,
there.
Carvey,
Miller.
Nealon, Nora Dunn, Dennis Miller. Mike Myers towards the tail end of that group. He carried on over.
Yeah, him and Carvey. And then
Lovitz.
Oh, Lovitz, yeah.
Lovitz did a lot of wacky stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a pretty fun era of SNL.
Yeah, he did the Master Thespian
thing. The Master Thespian.
I was acting.
Was it him and John Lithgow that did the out-acting each other?
Yeah, they're both wearing smoking jackets or bathrobes or something. Silk bathrobes or smoking jackets, either one.
Yeah.
And they got pipes.
I was thinking about his character. Remember Tales of Ribaldry?
No.
Where he played like a really perverted like medieval guy telling stories. And it would be like the woodsman and the widow and stuff like that. And he would be like, ooh, delicious. And then he would be like, it's just so weird.
Somebody told me this. I got to go find this. It was like a prank that Today Show played on Bill Hader, who was probably one of my favorite SNL alumnus of all time. He did that great Keith Morrison impression from Dateline.
Yes.
Where Keith Morrison seems to be just obsessed
I've
with
heard the story
macabre,
you're gonna tell the go ahead.
You know, like, when somebody says, and then I found the decapitated head, and Keith Morrison, or as Bill Hader would go, did you?
It's a famous gift now. Like, you see that a lot,
So anyway, they say to Hader, hey, Morrison's recording audio right now. Would you like to listen into it? And he goes, yes, I would. But then it's a gag. Like, Morrison's there, but he's pretending to say stuff.
Oh, he's playing, too?
Yeah, and then they bring him out, and Hader gets to meet him, and he's, like, freaking
That's
out.
That's great.
Yeah.
You made me think about biopics of comedians.
Oh, yeah.
So we have
Lenny Bruce.
Man on the Moon.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
It's good until you watch that dumb documentary,
then
it makes you
hate
the movie.
You want to hate Jim Carrey, too. Yeah. You want to hate Jim Carrey because
he
of it.
He made every – like, there's a part in that documentary we talked about where he says that he believed that he really helped the Kaufman family gain closure.
Who's that remind you of? Anybody?
Chaplin, Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, that was good.
I don't think I think I.
Here's the problem with
that. I think when that came out, I was of an age where I was like, I don't want to watch this draw this kind of oldie English kind of thing. And I wasn't a big Chaplin fan, so I think it kind of skipped over.
But here's the thing about that. Robert Downey Jr. was great. He was brilliant. The problem, the movie was too disjointed. It would jump from decade to decade, and you'd never felt a cohesive movie. Yeah. It was like these set pieces that played separately. And
He had a lot of scandal, too, didn't he?
Chaplin.
Was he a communist? Is that what they got him for?
I
thought he was called in on the McCarthy stuff. Was he not?
No, I don't even know if he was alive. Well, no, I guess he was, but he had – no, I
He did have he some got, crazy political leaning, didn't he?
I don't think he – I think he lived in Sweden or Switzerland or someplace because I thought it was some scandal with a female.
Is that what happened?
That he had to leave. I may be wrong. I don't think he was part of the McCarthy. Because he was – man, he was anti-Hitler big time. He made this parody film of Hitler.
That was a great dictator.
But I can't remember what it was that made him leave the country.
Let's look that up.
Other than, you know, talkies.
The Late Shift – you ever see that?
Yeah.
Based on the book?
I love the book.
I
couldn't. I think I read the book in one night.
The book's
I couldn't
great.
Put it down because, you know, I was just obsessed with Letterman then anyway, and I'm thinking, he's getting screwed.
Yeah. Charlie Chaplin. Okay.
Why do you have to leave?
I'm going to find out right now.
Was it a underage bride?
Are you thinking of Fatty Arbuckle?
No, I'm not thinking of Fatty Arbuckle.
No, I don't know.
I don't think it had anything to do with the Red Scare. I think it was.
I thought it did. Maybe
I thought
I'm
it
wrong.
Was like some.
Man, it's a long Wikipedia page.
Well, he was the world's biggest star. There was a photograph of Charlie Chaplin standing on the steps of the. I think it's the U.S. Federal Courthouse right in front of Wall Street. It's where George Washington was sworn in, right?
Yeah.
And I have never seen a larger crowd in my life. They have to hold him up like they hold Charlie, like he stands on somebody's shoulders, like they pick him up so people can see him.
Yeah,
I mean, in that area where it's the famous, like now that they got the bull statue there, right? And it's with the flags. It's Wall Street is. It is Wall Street.
Let me ask you this.
I must have been. I kid you not. 200,000-300,000 people there
okay,
to see him.
Okay, Donald Trump. Were you just eyeballing it?
I'm eyeballing, and I'm telling you, look at that photograph.
I'll take a look at that photograph. Who living now is going to get a great biopic someday? Trump. Trump's biopic is going to be crazy.
Well, yeah, probably.
You can admit that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
and it'll
be
done with kindness.
Yeah.
It'll be done fairly.
Christian Bale will be
No, they'll probably do it like in 4 or 5 years.
Who else has like an interesting life now that could be someday has the makings of a biopic? I mean, there's a lot of
who
lot
deserves
of
it, or who are we just guessing?
Guess it. Well, who? Based
I'm
on
I'm sure
who
somebody would, will do like a Kaepernick.
Yeah, that might not be a bad call. Yeah. But what about Barry Bonds?
Maybe. Yeah. Or who was his counterpart? McGuire?
Mark McGuire.
Sammy Sosa.
Sosa, yeah. Have you seen a picture of him lately?
Yeah, what happened there?
Ooh, wow. He's like that. There's a episode
Is it vitiligo? Is that what he's got?
No, I think he's doing that to himself.
No.
Yeah.
Like what they accused Michael Jackson of.
Yeah.
But Michael Jackson always defaulted to, no, I got vitiligo.
Yeah, no, I think he's doing this to himself. I think the general consensus is he's doing it. I saw Donald Glover talking about it, and he actually did an episode of Atlanta that's sort of a takeoff on Sammy, where he plays an aging rock star who's done that. And
he looks weird.
Yeah, yeah.
And puffy, too.
TV-wise, you watch anything? You know, Mindhunter is back.
Oh, it is. No, I haven't caught that. I think we talked about it last episode. I finished. What's the superhero thing? I finished that. Did you finish?
Boys,
it?
Not
the
yet.
Boys.
No. Preacher's back.
I still have 2 episodes left of What We Do in the Shadows.
I finished it last. I watched the last one last night.
Okay, so I'm not too far behind
that
you.
Show. Gosh, that show's good.
I love it.
It's great.
There is something fascinating about the female.
Nadia.
Nadia.
Yeah.
I just could watch her talk all day long.
Yeah. I love her husband. I think that
dude's,
I love that guy too.
I love all of them.
Yeah, they're all really funny. It's a really legit funny
show. What's the human Gilmore? What's his name?
Guillermo.
Guillermo. Yeah. Guillermo, yeah.
Yeah, you have to watch the last episode for a little twist.
Yeah, okay,
Guillermo.
Guillermo.
There was a show started on HBO last night called The Righteous Gemstones.
Yeah, what's
which
this about?
Is John Goodman, Danny McBride, and Adam Devine play three generations of televangelists.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what this is.
And it's written by, of course, Jodie Hill, who did Eastbound and Down and right. Vice Principals, which both were fantastic.
Right.
So I'm all in on that. I didn't realize it started last night.
Yeah.
I am going down this. We have talked about that. I don't know if we've talked about this lately, but I am still going down this Always Sunny in Philadelphia rabbit hole. And I would like to publicly apologize to anybody I ever denigrated this show to. Like, I think I'd watched a handful of episodes and thought it's not for me. I love this show.
It's a good show, and you know what derivative of that is the Mick.
Yeah, but it's not as good. It's not. That's
the
not
Mick is better.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No,
yes,
it's
it
not.
Is.
It is not better.
You know why you say that? Because you're a misogynist.
No, I say it because
it's
I
a female-driven show.
Both.
So you won't say it. You pig.
It's really fun. This show's great. And
no,
it
is a good show.
Yeah, and
but
I
it's not better than The Mick.
But it's funny. Like, I feel so weird. It's kind of like all these people knew this show was great, and I, like, missed the boat completely. Now I'm 14 seasons behind,
right.
And I'm watching it, and I'm like,
is this still on?
Yes.
I didn't know it was still on.
It's going into its like 14th season
in September. Kate Olsen was still doing that show too?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, I think those shows are pretty easy to make. They're pretty low.
Well, that's true.
Low overhead, I
think. Usually I'm sitting around someplace.
Yeah. Yeah. Are there any movies out right now that are good?
No.
They really aren't, are they?
Yeah, we're sort of in the drought right now.
What is that? Let's take a look at Rotten Tomatoes real quick. Let's see.
I bought Endgame. Well, I bought all of them.
So you could watch it and just pee whenever you want.
Yeah.
You pee it up a storm watching Endgame.
I got all of them. I bought that bundle package on iTunes. So if I'm bored at night, I go, I'll watch one of these again.
Here's our top box office. The number one is a movie I am dying to see.
Okay.
Good Boys.
You really are dying to see this.
I think the trailer for that movie is the funniest trailer I've seen in a really long time. But I'm a big Superbad guy, and it looks like Superbad.
Okay. I couldn't figure out where the one
Hobbs
kid
Hobbs and
was.
Shaw, I really want to see that. Oh, what are you going to say? The one kid?
The one kid is from
Last Man on Earth.
Last Man on Earth.
Yeah.
I was like, where do I know that kid from?
Yeah.
That's where it is.
Hobbs and Shaw.
I have no desire.
Oh, no.
I will avoid that.
I will watch that in a heartbeat.
If I swear to you, if we don't take this show, here's what we're going to do. Maria, get ready for a road trip.
Oh,
we're going to take this show to Universal Studios. And the three of us are going to go ride that the Fast and Furious ride.
Live
cast. And we'll begin the podcast immediately after. Just so I want your take
on
what we
just
did.
You are not
going to
watch Jason Statham and The Rock fight Idris Elba? That sounds like you don't even have to tell me what's going on. I'm like, if that's the log line, I'm in.
Nah, I don't care to see it.
By the way, congratulations to The Rock. He got married yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw that.
You know, I like The Rock.
I love The Rock.
I mean, he seems like a
He's going to be our next president.
Well, I'm okay with that.
So we also got Lion King, which, by the way,
I saw
not glowing reviews on Rotten Tomatoes.
What'd it get?
It's 52%.
Yeah, I really didn't care for it.
Meanwhile, they're going to make an Aladdin sequel.
They are?
Yeah, they announced they're going to do
that. Yeah. Why?
Yep. Angry Birds Movie 2, which I really disliked the first one.
Yeah.
And the new one is like 76%.
Okay.
Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, which intrigues me. Because I read those books as a kid. Did you ever read those books?
No.
Well, then probably not for you. But
I didn't read any
the
books.
The books were very scary. 47 Meters Down, that's a shark movie.
Yeah.
I will watch that because I like shark
movies. I think I saw that.
No, well, you saw this is the sequel.
Oh.
Uncaged.
Uncaged.
The sharks are all out of cages. It's way more dangerous.
The 47 Meters Down had Mandy Moore.
Yeah, they're stuck
correct?
In the cage.
Yeah. Horrible movie. Stupid. Awful.
Mandy Moore,
I like Mandy Moore, but there's a bad movie.
Her voice, Tangled.
Oh, I know that, but I still that movie was horrible.
Yeah, but it's still a shark movie. The worst shark movies are still better than the best dog movie out there. Like this new movie, the racing movie with the dog. The Kevin Costner one.
Oh, good.
Racing
yeah.
in the Art of Racing in the Rain. Like where they show you the entire movie from beginning to end in the trailer. Like,
is it a,
like he's a puppy, they get him, and then as we fall
like
in love,
greyhound?
His wife gets cancer, and then she dies, and then he takes her, the dog for one last thing. I just, that's the movie. I'm not spoiling it. It's all in the trailer.
But I will tell you
it's
this.
It's a golden retriever, I think.
I'll tell you this, though. The whole impetus as to why you really hate the villain in John Wick is because of that dog.
Yeah. That's why John Wick's great, I think. It's
I
because
mean,
that.
Who? Somebody, I was on Twitter, what, I can't even remember what the situation was, but somebody had written, no, you know what it was? No, it's not Twitter. It's the intro to Deadpool, the sequel. I love that because they start off with some violent scene, and they go, who directed this, the guy who killed John Wick's dog? That's what that was.
The best thing about that opening was the montages to 9 to 5. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but he's killing all those criminals. Yeah. Are they going to make another Deadpool?
I hope so.
They have to, right?
I love Deadpool.
Yeah, I do too. What else is out there? Blinded by the Light. That's the Bruce Springsteen English movie. I would think you would have seen that. Oh, you don't like Bruce Springsteen?
I do not.
Now then maybe you should skip that one. Art of Racing in the Rain.
I don't like anything blue collar.
Coming out this weekend is Angel Has Fallen. That sounds like a movie you would go see. I bet you saw both those other movies.
I did.
Yeah.
Olympus has fallen. Yeah. London has fallen.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're doing a third one, though. The second one wasn't any good. The first one wasn't that bad. I get them mixed up.
Is that Aaron Eckhart? Does he play the president in those movies?
I think
Two-Face?
So. Yes.
Yeah.
I think so. But there was one with, like, Jamie Foxx, too.
That's a different one.
Or Jamie Foxx was the president in one of these. Is that right?
White House Down. That's the one where he. No, that's Aaron Eckhart. Who is Morgan Freeman the president in?
It looks like
movies?
It. In this movie he is, but I don't remember him being the president in the other movies.
Right.
But there was one that was pretty. It seemed plausible, and it was fun because they actually made the North Koreans these terrorist North Korean guys came in and took over the White House.
Are you saying that is plausible?
Well, that's more plausible than what they normally do. It's just some guy who wants to transfer funds. That always aggravates me. When in life do we see some terrorist action? Because he just wanted to transfer $50 million to a bank account, like, say, in Die Hard.
Yeah, at some point.
It's just
I think Die Hard,
thievery.
Die Hard might have been the.
Because in Hollywood, that's the worst thing you can do is be a thief or a pirate and remove money.
I think that Die Hard was the first movie that gave you a reason for the terrorism, right? Because up until that, it was just Red Dawn, or they're just like, we're just coming over.
Just
here
evil.
We are, fight us off.
Evil.
You know, we took your submarine.
Well, I mean, at least Red Dawn, the original Red Dawn, it was the communists, and we felt okay, these are our enemies.
Yeah.
The second Red Dawn, I think, it was North Koreans again.
Well, it should have been. They should really be the villains in every movie at this point.
Yeah.
Well, hey, listen, that does it for this week. We've run out of time again.
We have.
Yeah. I got a hard out. Things to do.
I don't know what that means.
I'm busy. That means I gotta go.
I didn't like the way this ended.
Well, we could have talked for hours longer, and we will, because we have another 63 episodes to do this. Probably more.
Oh,
I hope.
Is that the contract?
Yeah. But I gotta jump off of here now, and we will.
Well,
say
maybe
goodbye.
I do too.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'm not presuming
you have anything to do. I assume. Maybe
well,
so.
I is all I've heard all day. As a matter of fact, I.
But, well, thank you for joining us.
Can I just tell everybody, hey, I got a hard out.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, this is the hard out then. The hard out of the Funk Up situation. This is it. Thank you for joining us. This has been episode 63. We will be back very soon since we got plenty of time on our hands.
Yeah.
With episode 64, good to be with you. Take care. Have a pleasant day. Goodbye.